Heavenly Father, we come to the altar today. We come present ourselves before you. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sin. We pray for our friends who are here today who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray that today might be a day that they might sense your love and grace and mercy and be drawn to you and confess you as Lord and Savior. We thank you for these wonderful adults and children that were baptized today who declared and confessed to the world that they're unashamed to be followers of Jesus. And so the rest of us who have also confessed you, Lord, as Savior, we also pray that as we go to the world, they might see a difference in us. They might see the joy of the Lord. We thank you that we can come to the altar. We can come to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And we thank you, Lord, for what you do in our minds, how you change us, how you help us to think new thoughts, how you help us to overcome the troubles and struggles of our life. So we worship and honor you today, and we thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you have died that we might have life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Good to see all of you here. We're delighted if you're here as a guest. We hope you'll come by. My wife, Pat, and I'd love to meet you back at Guest Central, back there to your right, and hope you'll be with us. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be today again. We've been talking these days about secrets. We've been talking about the secrets of joy, learning from Paul the Apostle what it's like when everything is going against you, when your circumstances aren't what you wish they would be, what it's like to have the joy of the Lord. And so we've looked at a number of things, and I can't review them all today, but I want us to look today in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. We're going to talk about the secret of a contented life, or maybe I should use a more familiar word for us, the secret of a satisfied life. Now, all the boys and girls who are here, and most of us remember, you know, in school, they always had, and it's always a challenge for the boys and girls when they have teacher-parent conferences. In teacher-parent conferences, that's the opportunity for the teacher to say to the moms and dads, well, now, here's how your children are doing, here's how they're making progress in all their lessons. But these, they may sometimes pick out a particular one and say, but your son or daughter, Johnny, needs a little bit more work on this particular area. Well, you know, what I've discovered in my life, what we'll see today, is there are some lessons that we learn for life. There are some life lessons that come our way, and one of them is learning, like Paul did, learning how to live a life of contentment, a life of satisfaction. That's not always something we're familiar with. So today we're going to look at what does it look like to live with satisfaction. Oh, you don't have to have me tell you, you know, when you're born into the world, dissatisfaction starts from the beginning. Why, those babies, they come out, not saying I'm satisfied, but feed me, crying, dissatisfied. From there they are, that beautiful child, and yet they're already whining and crying. Babies just grow up to be adults who whine and cry with their own set of dissatisfactions. Why won't this be better? How come this isn't any good? It's like circles in our life. We've got some ladies in here who do a great job as hairdressers. I'll use that term. They are hair engineers. That's what I would call them. And they work all the time, but they have a hard job because nobody is ever happy with their hair. It's too short, it's too long, it's the wrong color. It goes on and on. Dissatisfaction is the condition of life. We looked a few weeks ago at worry. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried about anything. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says, but in everything by prayer. We said take your worry list, make it your prayer list. So today, I don't have to I don't have to spend a lot of time making a point that dissatisfaction in life is a real thing, because most of you, no, I would say all of you, came in here dissatisfied. It's either too hot, it's either too cold. When is Pastor Mike going to finish preaching on joy and get on to something else? When are my kids going to cooperate? Never, never, never. When's your husband going to do all those chores you want him to do? Never, never, never. Dissatisfaction. My boss, my friends, my family. You see, dissatisfaction is a condition of the mind. Listen to me. Dissatisfaction can break relationships. Dissatisfaction can separate you from peace in your life. Dissatisfaction is the twin of worry. They go together. What you worry about, you're dissatisfied about. And all through the Word of God, we discover the condition, the human condition of dissatisfaction. However, the secret of joy is this: you can learn to live a satisfied life. Now, that's going to seem so different for us. Paul, it's almost laughable that Paul would write the words we're about to read. Remember again, he is in a Roman prison. He has chains, he has shackles on his arms, he has shackles on his legs. He is assigned to a Roman soldier. They just shift, they go their shift work, and it's day and night. And so Paul doesn't have a lot to eat. The accommodations were very difficult for Roman prisoners. And so this man is going to say some things here that, again, would seem laughable to us. But all of us in this room today, you came in here entangled in the circumstances of life, and you can't get out of them. If you switch one circumstance for another, you're still in the circumstances of life. And the circumstances of life can be good, and the circumstances of life can be bad. So what's a person to do? What's a follower of Jesus to do? A fellow told me one time, "Pastor Mike, I'm going to get more serious about following Jesus when all of this bad stuff stops happening in my life." Well, you know, you can't stop all that and then wait. I'm going to serve God when it's all good. No, you have to learn to serve the Lord in all the circumstances of life. It's a secret of joy. Contentment and joy go together. So if you'll stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, we'll read beginning in verse number 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." Please pay attention to these words. He's writing to his friends at the Philippian church, who he loved very deeply. Hadn't seen most of them in 10 years. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now," look at this, "at last." Now, at last, "you have revived your concern for me." Now at last. "Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." Not that I speak from want, or not that I speak from need. Look at this now. "For I have learned to be content." The Greek word means satisfied. "I have learned to be satisfied in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So as we stand now, Lord, with our copy of God's Word in our hands, as we read these words on the screen, we hear the testimony of a man who learned how to live in satisfaction, whatever his situation. Lord, we need to learn to do that in this room. We need to learn to do that. Help us to hear and understand the language of contentment that Paul shares with us. May we see this secret of joy, a life of satisfaction. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, Paul's been reminding us of rejoicing in the Lord. In fact, go back and look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Notice what it says. Always. I want to come back to circumstances. Some of you are waiting for a better day. Some of you are waiting for, you're going to, you know, what's the saying? We're going to hit the lottery. Everything's going to be great. You're going to have more than you need. Everybody's going to be in good health. Every circumstance, they're all going to line up. Everything's going to be perfectly lined up, and everything's going to be good. You're waiting for that day. The problem is circumstances in life are filled with both good and bad things. It's the all things of the Bible. And you're living in the all things in your life. Some of you young people, you think, well, it's going to get better when I do this. Some of you old people, well, it's going to get better. And in the middle, you people are thinking it's going to be. No, you have the circumstances of living in this world grants us the reality of our circumstances. Some of you'd like to switch with your neighbor and have their circumstances. Some of you would like to trade with your other family members, but you want something different in your life. It's called dissatisfaction. But Paul says, I'm chained to soldiers. My life is soon to be over. I'm in Rome waiting to die. But I have learned to be content. Well, Paul, I thought you were going to share the gospel all over the world. Apparently you're having a hard time. You can't go very far with a Roman soldier connected to your side. But I have learned to be content. The first principle he teaches us is in verse 10. Rejoice in the Lord, He always cares for you. Now this may seem a little strange for me to describe this, but if you're going to understand what it means to live a satisfied life, friend, you have to remember this. God, in a miraculous, mysterious way, always comes through for us in our circumstances. Can anybody say amen to that? I think you've seen it just like I have. He comes in just the right amount, just the right time, just enough, but God always comes through. Look at this. Paul is rejoicing, verse 10, greatly in the Lord. And what's he rejoicing greatly in the Lord about? That his friends, the Philippians, look at the language. You've got to feel these words. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, this time, this point in history, right now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. What happened here, church? Here's what happened. The Philippian church came with goods or with money or with food or whatever it was. They sent provisions to Paul in Roman prison. 10 years of time. 10 years is a long time. At last, see, this is the language of a man who understands satisfaction. You see, Christian contentment is a part of being spiritually minded. And we're called to have spiritual minds, not fleshly minds. You see, your fleshly mind is dissatisfied. Why, there are kids down in the nursery today that if you want to learn about dissatisfaction, just go down there and listen to all of that whining and crying and carrying on. It's everywhere. It goes on at work. It goes on at the house. Why, somebody wants to go to Front Porch today and somebody else is going to be mad because we didn't go over to McDonald's. There's going to be dissatisfaction in the car going home. Something didn't happen the way it should. The world filled with circumstances. Somebody got a call this week that there's a bad sickness in their body. Somebody else got a call this week that someone in their family's in desperate condition. Somebody goes to work tomorrow and work changes. The circumstances of life are wrapped all around us. And we wish it was all good, but it's not. It's the all things of your life. But I'm going to tell you, in all the circumstances, good and bad, here's what Paul said, at last, God provided through these Philippians for His needs. God uses the church. God uses people. God takes His Holy Spirit. He provides for us in all kinds of ways. You need to see the invisible hand of God at work in your life, friend. It'll bring joy to your life. Go back and look and remember some of the times when God has come through and He's taken care of you. At last, Paul says, at last, he rejoices in the Lord because he remembers God's going to take care of him. When Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, he said, even though it's important to pray and tell the Lord what we need, Paul says it here, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, all the circumstances of life. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. He wants you to ask. He wants you to present to Him your needs. Take your worry list, make it your prayer list, and that worry list encompasses all these things we're talking about. Some of you wish that you could just change back to a former season in your life. Well, you can't. You can't go back. You're right here. Paul said the other day, press on. Press on. Run the race with endurance. Press on. Stretch forward. It's not what's behind, it's what's forward. Something better is in the future for those of us who follow Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. He always takes care of you. All right, quickly. Rejoice in the Lord. Second, and live, he says, in contentment in all your circumstances. This is the point I've been trying to make for the last few minutes. If we could put up on the screen, on the wall, and project all of the circumstances in this room, it would stagger us at the highs and lows people are having who came in here this morning. You know, I've said to this church over and over, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. Everybody's having a hard time. Preachers have hard times. Staff members in churches have hard times. All of you have hard times. We all have good times. Look at the language of circumstances Paul describes here. He says in verse 12, some are humble means. I've learned. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. Sometimes circumstances bring prosperity. Sometimes circumstances humble us. Sometimes circumstances, as you read on down, we're filled and we have more than enough. Sometimes we go hungry and there's not much in the bank account. Sometimes we have an abundance. Sometimes we suffer need. See, that's the language of circumstances. That's what it's like. It's not one or the other. Some of us think that we want a set of circumstances. If we follow Jesus, we're just going to get the whole bag of good circumstances. It doesn't work that way, friend. Because we live in a world filled with good and evil and wickedness and righteousness and pain and suffering and joy and happiness. So the circumstances in your lives today, here's my question. Are you dissatisfied with your circumstances? Or are you learning to be, remember it's a life lesson, are you learning to be satisfied? I was talking with a husband in our church and his wife, and we were talking about they were just struggling with some things in their life. And in this particular occasion, I'm not picking on any ladies, I'm just telling the story because it happened this way. So this particular situation, the wife was just so dissatisfied with everything. And I mean, it was a constant complaint about everything in their family. Constant complaint about their marriage. Constant complaint about their children. Well, she even started griping about the church. Well, what's new with that? I mean, come on. Get in line. Line up. Take a card. Call me up. I'm ready to hear. You didn't get that one. Don't really call me. Call Todd or Patty or somebody else, Ryan. I'm kidding. Kind of kidding. You know, people do get dissatisfied at church. Did you know that? Yeah, some of you ready for the sermon to be over, but you got 10 more minutes to get your money's worth. So think about this. This woman goes on and on and on, and her husband, he was uncomfortable, and she was just giving it to us about how dissatisfied she was. Finally, I said, look, is there anything that you're satisfied with? And she said, well, my hair looks pretty good today. I'm not making that up. That's what she said. all the circumstances of your life today, God knows about. And Paul said, I've learned to be satisfied in whatever circumstances I am in. Verse 12, I know how to get along. Are you hearing this? This is the language of contentment. I know how to get along with what I've got. I know how to get along with what I've got. Worry projects out and says, this is what I want. Contentment says, this is what I've got. You need to hear me. This is important. What do you have in your hands? Remember when Moses was making all those excuses about God's call in his life? And the Lord said, well, what do you have in your hand? A staff. Okay, that's good. That's all you need. What do you have in your hands? I'm asking you today, as you leave this building and you live with discontent and you live in dissatisfaction, you wish it was another way, you wish your life had another path, you wish this was happening in your life, you're living in the spin of discontentment from the ups and downs of your life, what do you have and how have you learned to get along with the little or the lot that God gives you? Paul says, I have learned the secret. Look at verse 12. I have learned the secret. We've been talking about the secrets of joy all the way through Philippians. He's actually saying here, if we read this phrase in the Greek language, he says, I've been initiated into the secret. You see, here's what's amazing, folks. If you will learn to be satisfied in your condition and your circumstances, whatever it is, you'll find the secret of joy. It's there. But you have to be satisfied with what you have. Not what you want. Not what you lost. Not what you've gained. You have to be satisfied with what you have. Finally, the most famous verse, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And the next one, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how do I do this? How do I learn to be content? You know, it's a mental thing. It's the way you think that leads to contentment. If you're content in your mind, it changes what you buy. If you're content in your mind, it changes how you treat people in relationships. If you're content in your mind, it helps you deepen your marriage relationship, your relationship with your children and other people. You see, it starts in our mind. And here's this famous verse. Most of us in this room who've been around church any amount of time, we learned this verse. I can do all things. The all things he's talking about are these circumstances of life. Some of you woke up this morning and it was hard to put one foot in front of another and you said, I don't even know if I can make it through the day. You're talking about your circumstances. Yes, you can. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Turn and tell your neighbor, I can do all things. Go ahead, turn and tell your neighbor, I can do all things. I can do all things. That's all the things that are happening in your life. I can do all those things. I can face those hardships that are ahead of me. I can face the ones that I know I've gotten myself in. I can do all things, the good and the bad, through Him, through what Jesus is doing in me. So Paul said it, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, as we close, I want you to think about this. This verse is so important to talking about contentment. Paul says to us in Hebrews 13, 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Being content. He puts it in the present tense verb, being content with what you have. I'm going to ask you again. What do you have? You have so much, friend. Be content with what you have. Listen. For he himself, God, has promised, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you, so that we can confidently say, listen, this is the language of contentment. This is the language of contentment. So we can confidently say, verse 6, this is Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man or circumstances do to me? Isn't that good news this morning? Isn't that good news? God will take care of you, friend. What's in your hands? What do you have? Well, Pastor Mike, I got a bunch of bad stuff. That's what I've got. Be satisfied. Well, I want it to be better. No. What do you have? Where are you? What circumstances have come into your life? Paul says it to us. I'm going to read it again to you one more time. I want you to hear his words. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. So we learned a few weeks ago, I've said it several times this morning, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in this room, all of you, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, see, it's not going to make any sense, will guard your heart and mind. And then you will find satisfaction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Paul's testimony. These words we're talking about are words that describe spiritual mindedness. Lord, we don't need more fleshly mindedness. That's what we've gotten naturally. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the power to say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with a little. I'm satisfied with a lot. I'm satisfied with abundance. I'm satisfied in suffering and need. I'm satisfied because God takes care of me. God strengthens me, whatever I have. Lord, help the people in this room to be able to say that with confidence. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied and I'm content in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord, we invite you to come. Just like these who were baptized this morning, at one point they came and they publicly said, I'm ready to follow Jesus and trust Him as Lord and Savior of my life. If you've never done that in your life, we invite you to come, friend. We'll help you. The pastors will help you understand what it means to come to Jesus and follow Him. If you don't have a church home and you don't have a place to belong, what we do here, we do together. We're not perfect. We're working on it together, trying to follow Jesus. We invite you to come if this is the place God's wanting you to belong. You're a believer, you know Jesus, but you don't have a church home. Come and step forward and say, look, this is the place I need to be. Or if you're a part of this church and you say, Pastor Mike, I'm worrying about what I don't have instead of what I have. I'm living in dissatisfaction. I'm grumbling, I'm complaining to God and to everybody else. I don't have the secret of joy, contentment. And friend, talk to the Lord about it this morning before you leave. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd bless this invitation time now. We thank you for us having the opportunity to hear your word. Bless us now as we stand and as we respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray.